Good morning. We're shy in number right now. I know the others will be coming, but you're going to have to make up for it by singing really loud right now. Right? Let's stand together and sing "All the Earth Will Sing Your Praises."
Continue to worship this morning. Heavenly Father, we bow before you. Lord, thank you for speaking to my heart already this morning. Lord, your word is so alive and well even today. And I thank you for that. God, you are working in the midst of our lives, in the midst of our church. We can see that and we thank you for that. Continue to work, Lord, that we ask that you will just have your mercy and your grace come down on this church, Lord. Lord, that way we can seek your face. Give us wisdom. Give us encouragement. Help us to love each other. Lord, allow us to worship you this morning. Help us to leave things behind. Open our hearts. Clear them up this morning so we can hear what you've got for us today. Lord, I thank you for coming to this earth, dying on a cross for me. Lord, I don't deserve it. Lord, we don't deserve it. But you loved us so much that you were willing to do that. And we thank you for that. Help us to get on our knees this morning. Lord, I pray this altar will be full of people when we finish up today, giving you praise, fixing things that need to be fixed, forgiving people we need to be forgiven. Lord, maybe even grabbing somebody's hand and saying, let's go pray together. Let's lift up our church. Let's lift up our community. Let's lift up whatever we need to lift up this morning. Lord, I thank you for our praise band and the musicians that are up here, Lord, that come up every week to give their time and their talents to you. So that way we can enjoy that and worship you, the Almighty God. We thank you this morning. Once again, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new seated. I think you can tell Brother Hosey loves music. He married into the ball knobber family, and his wife was a ball knobber, so music goes way back. I've also heard him play guitar and sing, and he is very good. So we're glad to have you here today. Let's sing this morning, Broken Pieces. Aren't you glad that we can come together and worship the Lord this morning? Let's lift him up.
All these pieces broken and scattered, in mercy gathered, mended and whole. Empty-handed, but not forsaken, I've been set free.
Let's sing together this morning, oh, praise the name of the Lord our God.
cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on the cursed tree. His body
know it, sing it if you want to. Be glad to have everybody sing with me. I was lost, I was in shame, the world had a hold of me. My heart was a stone, was covered in shame. When he came for me, I couldn't run from his presence. Couldn't run from his arms. Jesus, he loves me, he loves me, he is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me. Out of the dark. can it be? He loves me. He is for me. Jesus, He loves me. He loves me. He is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me. He is for me.
John and Mary. John and Mary had been married 58 years. 58 years. There had not been a lot of overt romance in their lives. They were not expressive kind of people. John and Mary. It was a warm spring afternoon. They were out on the front porch, and they were in their rocking chairs, John and Mary. And Mary had an uncharacteristic moment of tenderness toward old John. And Mary said to John, John, I'm proud of you. John, rocking in his chair, didn't hear well. He said back to her, Mary, I'm tired of you too. Oh, sometimes the inability to hear is a problem. Would you agree with that? I was 20 years old when I was first diagnosed with some hearing loss. It was a certain frequency that I don't hear, and normal people do. And as the years have gone by, that has expanded into other areas. And so now I wear these little things in the back of my ear to help me hear. Can I get a witness from anybody out? Well, never mind. But we want to be able to hear well. Where it really began to bother me was when my granddaughters would be in the back seat and I could not distinguish what they were saying. I want to be able to hear well. Let me ask you a question that's important. Listen carefully. How well do you hear God? How well do you hear God? And let me follow that up with this question. How important is it for us to hear Him? How important is it personally? How important is it corporately? I don't know hardly any of you, but I do know this, there is nothing more important in your life and in the life of the First Baptist Church of Mountain Grove that you improve your hearing. To be able to hear God is at the heart of the spiritual life. How well do you hear God? And how important is it? Now, I'm going to say something. I don't know if there's any note takers in the group, but just in case, I always try to flag when I'm going to say something that you could write down. But here's what I want to say. How I hear God, listen, how I hear God impacts how God hears me. You just put that in your mind and let it rattle around for a while, maybe for a week or a month or a year. How I hear God. In other words, if I'm not hearing Him, there may be a problem with Him hearing me. And in my life, I want God to hear me. Can I get an amen on that? I want God to hear me, and I want God to hear you, and I want God to hear this church. When this church begins to cry out to him. I want to show you one verse, and then we're going to go back in a few moments and unpack several in the same chapter. But let me give you a moment to find 2 Kings in your Old Testament. While you're turning to 2 Kings, let me tell you where we are. And when you get there, find chapter 22. But where we are in the history of God's people is one of the stories I love in the Old Testament. It's a story of a king named Josiah. I hope you remember him. He became king when he was 8 years old. And he was such a strong, godly king that we often refer to him as Good King Josiah. Good King Josiah. In a moment, we're going to be looking at a story about something that happened in the 18th year of his reign. If I understand it correctly, that would mean he would be about 26 years old at the time. But I want to show you one verse, and then I want to go back and look at some other things with you. So in chapter 22, verse 19. Now, I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, and you may have slightly different wording, but I think it's going to be very close. So watch this very carefully here. Remember what I said? The way I hear God impacts the way God hears me. Okay, watch this, 19. Because, I want you to notice that word, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard. Did you hear that? When you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse. And you tore your clothes and wept before me. Now watch it. I also have heard you, says the Lord. Everybody get that? God said, listen, you were listening for me. Guess what? When you spoke, I was listening to you. How I hear God impacts the way God hears me. And that's incredibly important in the Christian life. So our task today is to answer a question. The question is very simple. The question is, how can I improve my ability to hear God? And I trust that every one of us want that in our lives. By the way, if you want a scripture reference, I might ask you to turn. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. How I hear God impacts how God hears me. Or how about Isaiah 59:1-2? Behold, the hand of the Lord is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Ah, that hits me. He will not hear. It's not that he cannot, it's that he has chosen not to hear me if I'm not listening to him. You say, that's Old Testament. How about James 5:16? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or person availeth much, the old translation says, has great power. But there's a connection between who you are and how you hear. How I hear him impacts how he hears me. So the question before us is, how can I hear more accurately? How can I improve my ability to hear God's voice? Now, we're still in the 22nd chapter of Kings, and of 2 Kings, and I'm going to go back and pick up this story in verse number 8. Now, again, Josiah has come to the throne, and now a great reform, revival, if you will, is taking place there, and he's cleaning up the temple, having it done, and so forth. Verse 8, chapter 22. Then Hilkiah, this high priest, said to Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. So Shaphan the scribe went to the king, bringing the king word, saying, "Your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of those who do the work, who oversee the house of the Lord." Then Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. Now it happened, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Achbor the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king, saying, "Go, inquire of the Lord for me, for the people and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us." So Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Asaiah went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke with her. Then she said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants, all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be aroused against this place and shall not be quenched. But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord in this manner, you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which you have heard." Now that brings us back to verse 19. "Because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely, therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. And your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place." So they brought back word to the king. Josiah heard God, and God heard Josiah. The way we hear God impacts the way God hears us. So, the question before us, important question, how can I improve my hearing? How can I be able to better hear, better discern the word and the will of God? And nothing in your spiritual life is much more important than that. So how do we do it? Again, if you're a note taker, I'm going to give you answer number one right now, and you can jot it down. It's pretty simple. It's very simple. But if you want to improve your hearing, here's the first thing you're going to have to do. Ready? Find the book. Find the book. Oh, there's a lot of people today that like to hear from God, but they don't have time for this. They want to hear from God, but they don't want to take the time to become thoroughly acquainted with His Word. Find the book. Now, it's interesting to me that this text has good news and bad news. The good news is they found the book of the law where? In the house of the Lord. That's good news. Except for one thing, and it's bad news. They lost the book of the Lord in the house of the Lord. That's why they had to find it, because it had been lost. May I suggest to you that we are living in an age where many people give lip service to God's Word and to God's book, and yet in reality, they've not found the book in their own life. Jared Wilson, a young leader and writer, said, "When it comes to the text itself, I suspect that a lot of The superficial faith out there results from teaching that treats the Bible like Bartlett's familiar quotations. Fortune cooking preaching will make brittle, hollow, syrupy Christians. Find the book. And so here's what I come to tell you this morning at the First Baptist Church of Mountain Grove, Missouri. Find the book. Find the book for yourself. Find the book for yourself. Because in your own heart and life, it is incredibly important that you are hearing from God. If I could poll you right now and you were absolutely honest, if I ask you this question, how many of you hear from God regularly? Some of you would be hesitant to raise your hand. If I said, how many of you hear from God daily? Some of you would be reluctant to hear from your hands. If I said, how many of you have not heard from God for a month or two or a year? Some of you would be hesitant to raise your hand. I just want you to understand that in your personal life, I want to encourage you to find the book. Find the book for your own heart. Let me add to that, find the book for your home. Find the book for your home. Not just for yourself, but for your home. Let the book begin to have a more prominent place in your home. I desire so much for the children growing up in our Christian homes to see Dad with a Bible in his hand. To see Mom with the Bible there. To know that they take time daily to listen to what God has to say. And it is important in their life, and it is a priority in their life. Find the book in your home. I challenge you with that. Find the book in your church. Find the book in your church. When you gather, gather around the book and honor the book and hear the book and listen, obey the Word of God. Because James says what? Be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Find the book in your church. For heaven's sake, find the book. For the world's sake, find the book. Why? Because the way we hear God impacts the way God hears us. And I have learned and I am learning that God speaks primarily and preeminently through this book. Through this book. And I'm challenging you in a fresh way, if you're young or if you're old, I'm challenging you to find the book. Hilkiah found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And he took that book. And when he took that book and had it delivered to the king himself found the book and found the word, and that word began to work in his life. So listen again. The way we hear God impacts the way God hears us. And if I want to hear Him better, then I make a commitment to find the book. Now, I'm going to tell you the honest truth. This morning, I did my listening to the book on the way to Mountain Grove. Because it was about 5:35 when I rolled out this morning, and I simply did not have the time to do what I normally do. Because what I normally do is I go to the kitchen and I get things all set up. I got my Bible there, got my notepad there, because I always write in a journal, and I've got my devotional companions with me. That's my dog Jimmy's on my left, and my dog Jack is on the right. Sometimes Jack backslides, but hey, Jack's a dog. What can I say? But they're there, and I have my devotional time. And I my time of listening to the Lord, I call it my face time with the Father. And it's rich and it's good. And I may talk to you more about it next Sunday, about exactly how that works its way out in my life. But find the book, find the book. But this morning I didn't have that opportunity. So as I traveled here, I went on to my smartphone and I was plugged in through the system, so I didn't have to touch anything. And I was in the ESV this morning and I'm listening to this chapter over and over. I listened to it several times on the way here. Because the book is important to me. I don't live by bread alone. I live by every what? Come on, church, help me out here. I'll start all over on this sermon if you don't get with me. Okay? See, the Bible says, man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We're going to do that one more time. You're going to give me the word, 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 word. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. So how's your word intake? How are you at listening to God? Some of us are better at talking to Him than listening to Him, and some of us are struggling in both areas. Because if you don't listen to God, you're going to have trouble talking to God. So my challenge is, and I'm not talking someday, I'm talking start today, and when I see you, if indeed when this service is over, they do indeed let me come back for one more Sunday. When I come back next Sunday, I want to know that you found the book. It's all right if you come up to me and say, Brother Hosey, I found the book this week. Found the book. And I think that's crucial to hearing God. And how I hear Him impacts how He hears me. Find the book. And then I want to show you what happens when you find the book. Go back to verse 19, crucial verse here. Go back to verse 19. Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you, says the Lord. How can I improve my hearing? Number one, what was it? Find the book. Number two, listen to this. Fix your heart. Fix your heart. See, the challenge is what we call a hearing problem when it relates to God is most often a heart problem. We've got heart trouble. I know this for a fact. It's possible for an authentic, genuine Christian to still be having heart trouble. And I promise you, a church can have heart problems, be out of rhythm, be unable to produce the necessary life for the body. The church can have a heart problem. And if I'm going to hear God, I got to find the book. And I've got to fix my heart. Fix your heart. Now, let me tell you something that's very, very helpful here, very good. That when you find the book, sir, the book will fix the heart. If you're listening and if you're obeying. If you find a book, the book will fix the heart. Now, I'm going to tell you from this text, your Bible's still open to that 19th verse. I'm going to tell you maybe four things about the heart that needs fixing. Four things that you want to have in your heart. You want it to describe your heart. Are you ready? Here's the first one. You better have a listening heart. Because King Josiah did not have to listen. You know why? He was the king. And some of you are the king of your own ship, captain of your own ship, the king of your own kingdom. And some of us just simply have stopped listening. And so if I'm going to fix my heart, I'm going to have to pray for the Holy Spirit of God to give me a listening heart. Josiah had said it not once, but two or three times. The Bible says, when you heard. And Josiah had a listening heart. Before I'm finished, if I don't forget it, I'm going to give you a counterexample from Jeremiah's great book. But just for now, just hold on to this. If you don't have a listening heart, you need somebody, and that's God, to fix your heart. And the Word of God can help with that. And how you know that is this. You have a listening heart. That means that you are hungry for His Word. And as you open that book and as you spend time in that Word, you're listening for the whisper of God in your heart and in your life. So when God fixes your heart, He'll give you a listening heart. Second thing that I need and that you need, and in the New King James, it's found in verse 19, the first phrase, I need a tender heart. Some translations, ESV being one of them, calls it a penitent heart. You know what a tender heart is? A tender heart is like good soil. And when the Word of God comes into that, it is implanted deep in the soil of your life. A tender heart. Hey, I hate to tell you this, but there are hard-hearted Baptists. Their hearts have become tough. Their hearts have become callous. Their conscience has been seared. And can I tell you something? If your heart is hard, your hearing is poor. It's not your physical ears. It's your spiritual heart. And that heart is to be tender heart. Literally, that tender heart speaks about a soft heart, a pliable heart. And the soil of your heart determines the penetration of God's Word. So I'm saying to you, you're going to have to hear Him, and you're going to have a tender heart, a listening heart and a tender heart. Now remember what we're doing. We're answering the question, how can I improve my hearing? And the first answer is, you find the book. Find the book. By the way, we live in a generation that will be held accountable for the reality. It's easier to find the book than it's ever been in the history of humanity. Many of you probably do. On my smartphone, I have YouVersion, came out of Craig Groeschel's church, Life Church in Oklahoma, and I have 20, 30, I don't know what now, different translations, and it's all, listen, free. Free. Many of them will read it aloud to me. I have no excuse if I do not find the book. But then I need to fix my heart. Do you know that our hearts are desperately wicked? Our hearts are prone to wander, as the old hymn said. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. So I've got to find the book, and then that book works on my heart. It works on the inside, the inner person of the heart. And God begins to create in me a listening heart. And then God begins to create in me a tender heart. But that's not all. If you look back at verse 19, he says, because your heart was tender, there it is, and you humbled yourself. So here we go. We need humble hearts. Not only listening hearts, not only tender hearts, but we need humble hearts. Humble hearts. Literally, that means to bend the knee. Can I tell you something? The best thing you can ever do in your life is to live under the Word of God. That the Word of God becomes your authority. You know, if I may say so, the greatest problem that we have in our country is we have lost any semblance of authority. Authority. And I will tell you, you cannot have a moral and upright society without a basis of authority. And we've eroded the authority in our land. And yet, here we're called to have humble hearts. You know, it's hard for a king to be humble. But let me tell you something. It's hard for any one of us to have that humble heart. The wisdom that is from above, James said, is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, then willing to yield. Willing to yield. Full of mercy and good fruit, without hypocrisy and without partiality. That humility that says, I bow the knee to my God. He's God and I'm not. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Talking about a humble heart. Jesus modeled it, and many others in the Word of God modeled that humility. And our hearts need to be humble. Why? Why? Because the Bible says it clearly, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the... Well, time challenge you, find the book. Let it fix your heart. Let the book of God and the Spirit of God produce in you a listening heart, a tender heart, and a humble heart. Now there's one more. Your Bible still open? Look at verse 11 first. I read it, but go back and look at it. Because I want you to see how good King Josiah responds. After they read that book to him, verse 11, it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law. What did he do? He tore his clothes. Go to verse 19 again. It says, it's right in the middle of the verse, you tore your clothes and wept before me. Are there tears on this altar? Are there tears on any altar in your life? What are we talking about? We've already talked about the listening heart, the tender heart, the humble heart. But now we're talking about the repentant heart. Fix your heart, because too many times we go our own way and do our own thing and we leave God out. In my FaceTime with the Father this week, I'm reading in the book of Psalms, and I believe it's the 10th Psalm, verse 4, that wicked people are described, one of those Psalms, and it says this, God is in none of their thoughts. God is in none of their thoughts. And it convicted me to my core, not because the world leaves God out, but too many times Christians leave God out. Alvin Reed from Southeastern Seminary said something two or three, 4 years ago, kind of rattled my world. He said, many of our Christian families live like atheists in their own home. Many of our Christian families live like atheists in their own home. Why? Because they're not listening to God. And they are not tender toward the things of God. And they are not humble before God. And they are not repentant before God. The way we hear God impacts the way God hears us. Josiah could hear God. And he could hear God because he had that tender heart. He could hear God because he had a heart that was humble before God. He could hear God because he had a listening heart, and he could hear God because he had a repentant heart. Now, I told you I was going to show you a counterexample. Jeremiah 36, and I close with this, so turn there with me, please. Jeremiah 36, and when you get there, we're going to look at verse number 20, I believe. Jeremiah 36. So very interesting, because this is a descendant of Josiah, and I want you to see what happened. Jeremiah 36, 20, and they went to the king. This is a different king. They went to the king into the court, but they stored the scroll in the chamber of Elisha the scribe and told all the words in the hearing of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to bring the scroll, and he took it from Elisha the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the hearing of the king. So far, so good. And in the hearing of all the princes who stood beside the king. Verse 22. Now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month with a fire burning on the hearth before him. And it happened when Jehudi had read three or four columns, it was a scroll, that the king cut it with the scribe's knife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth. And all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor did they tear their garments, the king, nor any of his servants who heard all these words. There's your counterexample. I would just ask you, which king are you most like? Which king? The king who tore his clothes, who humbled himself, whose heart was tender, whose spiritual ears were tuned to heaven, or the one that cut off the pages of the book, the scroll, and threw it into the fire? You say, man, I'd never burn my Bible. Well, the answer is I wouldn't either. The question is, have I found the book? And is it fixing my heart? In a moment, I'm going to pray. And after I pray, we're going to give an invitation. Pastor Jim will be here to receive you. But let me tell you very specifically what I want. If the Spirit of God prompts you to do so, I'm going to encourage you to come to this altar or to Pastor Jim and maybe just say this: I'm making a fresh commitment. I've lost the book of God from my life. But by His grace and through His power, I'm going to find the book. I'm going to fix my heart. I'm going to find the book. I'm going to fix my heart. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord, I thank You for the book. And I thank You for what I have personally witnessed in these last 9 years of my life. And Father, I thank You that You're still working on me and I'm still hungry for You. Father, I pray for those that have gathered into this first worship service. And Father, I believe with all my heart, these are good people. I just pray You might convict somebody because somehow they've lost the book. It may still be on the coffee table. It might even be on the dash of the car, but they've lost the book and they know it. And their heart has grown a little bit cold and they're not hearing from You, and perhaps You're not listening to them. Help us, Lord. This is serious business. Do what You want to do. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You stand with me now. Pastor Jim's here. You need to come. You need to come. Say, I'm going to find the book. I'm going to fix my heart. You come right now.
I hear the Savior say, Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me Thine all in all. Jesus paid it all.
Fix your heart. Come on.
Lord, now indeed I find Thy power and I am alone. Can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it.
Anyone else, you come.
Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Listen to this.
For nothing could have I, whereby Thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
I want to tell you, it's been good to be with you this morning, and I want to thank whomever put the stones on the platform instead of the pews. I'm just saying. So thank you that you didn't have those out there. We're going to give you just another opportunity while they're praying. But let me tell you, I believe from the depths of my soul that all of you who are thinking about the next pastor you will find would be well advised to change the conversation to the church he will find. And if he finds a church that's found the book, if he finds a church that the heart is being fixed and the bitterness is gone and the pain, whatever it may be, has been laid at the foot of the cross, not denied, if he finds that kind of church, God will smile on this ministry. Pastor?
We're going to receive the offering this morning. If we could have the ushers come forward. And during the offering, we're going to be watching an Annie Armstrong Easter offering video. I want to encourage you to give to that. It's a great thing that we do here. Let's pray.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, just thank you for this day. Thank you for the message we've heard. Brother Hosey, God, just help us to absorb that. Help us to hear. Help us to apply it to our lives, not just to let it go in one ear and out the other. God, help it. Help us to do that. Just be instruments to and be available to you to use every day and just for your glory. We want to reach our community. We want to reach lost people. We want to just be a church that you smile down upon, God. Use these tithes and offerings. Just use them to spread the good news of the gospel and just bless our church and just God bless our members. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
It's been a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Let's stand together and sing "How Great Is Our God." The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. It trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great, how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is
our God.
You're dismissed.